Thanks a lot. I just wanted to let you know that we are planning to record this conversation, and we just wanted to let you know and see whether you agree that we can put this up on our website for other people to listen to.
Yes, but once you record, we need to go with that, and we need to see what's recorded.
I can send you the sound file if necessary.
Yes, that would be necessary.
All right. Thank you, then. So I suppose we'll just get straight into this. The very first question I suppose I can just summarize the project again for you one more time. We are trying to design a tandem biosensor and bioreactor system that is capable of detecting and then degrading various toxins, including naphthenic acids, sulfur-containing compounds, nitrogen-containing compounds, and catechol, and then try and convert all of those into hydrocarbons in an enclosed bioreactor system. The bioreactor is designed such that these bacteria can't, or it's very unlikely that these bacteria will escape, and in the event that they do, we have also implemented a genetic kill switch that will actually activate, destroy all their DNA once they leave the environment of the bioreactor.
Okay, so how is that switch activated? I didn't have time because this is a massive website.
We're planning to use a promoter and riboswitch system, and we're going to provide a couple of molecules, for example, molybdenum cofactor, that will bind to the riboswitch and actually shut off the production of micrococcal nucleus, which is what we have, which would actually destroy the DNA if it were not turned off. And so tight regulation inside the bioreactor with a number of different molecules there will actually stop the expression of the kill switch. The instant the bacteria leave, they no longer have the suppressing molecules, and so then the genes for the nucleases will activate and thus kill them.
Okay. I just wonder what will the natives down the stream think if they learn that these bacteria can escape.
Well, we do our best in order to keep everything enclosed. The bioreactor system has a we do use UV light to kill any bacteria that are skimmed off when we're using a belt skimmer to actually pick up hydrocarbons off the top layer and then extract them. We use UV light to kill off any bacteria that could be picked up. And then as the waste fluid gets left, leaves the bioreactor, they're also killed off. But because these cofactors are non-existent outside of the bioreactor system, it will actually activate the nucleases and kill them.
So in the bioreactor, in which forms are bacteria? Are they just floating there freely, or they are tied in the form of biofilm?
As it stands right now, they are floating freely within the solution.
Historically, it was proven that it's actually better to use them as biofilm because they're more resistant to stress. Usually, reaction rates are higher.
When it's attached to a... Sorry?
Yes, when they're attached to support in the form of biofilm.
Okay. So if we biofilm this, it may actually improve the effectiveness of the bioreactor.
It usually does. Suspended bacteria are known to be used. For example, you mentioned there are beer industry, but produce acetic acid. They were originally used in both forms, can be suspended, but for the environmental purposes, biofilm worked better.
Okay.
It doesn't mean it will be here, it's just one of the options that wasn't considered.
All right, that is certainly an idea that we can keep in mind for future iterations of this design. Actually, what we really wanted to ask you was whether you see a technology like this being useful in the oil sands right now.
Okay. Yes and no, depend which part. Now let's go slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Fred.
Yes.
You're dividing this detector to be pretty robust, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to use that in tailings ponds.
Mm-hmm.
And why?
This way we can actually monitor levels of naphthenic acids. My understanding is that there are mandates and guidelines for monitoring levels of these particular naphthenic acids and other various toxins that are in the tailings ponds, if I'm not mistaken, or?
you are a little bit mistaken. These ponds are closed circuit system.
Mm-hmm.
There is no release to the environment. So if somebody thinks that these levels are going to Athabasca River, that's not correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, we also fear that it's possible that these toxins will leach into nearby soil as well.
Usually the soil absorbs nothenic acids.
Okay.
They like clays dearly.
All right.
So, there are small seepage, but dilution factor with the Athabasca River is over 1,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
So, whatever escapes, it's not significant. If there is bigger escape, then there is a problem. So, to do spread in pond, I don't see a purpose.
Okay. Well, it's
whatever, let me finish, please.
Sorry, thanks.
Whatever is inside is tightly retained, and to be honest, nobody cares what's happening now in ponds. And ponds are there to stay for at least next 10 years. Now, once that finishes, there may be interest to reclaim ponds faster. So where I see the application of FRED is environmental monitoring, but not in active ponds.
Okay.
It may be used, in rivers, in wastewater treatment plants on the outlets,
mm-hmm.
and this can be devised for many other compounds, not necessarily naphthenic acids.